Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference Call. So today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji to enlighten us on Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So today is the 21st session. So we are very fortunate to have her on the call and enlightening us on such an elevated topic. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association and so many instructions on your lecture. So thank you so much, Mataji. Now I would like to hand over the call to you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. So we are continuing to see from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and we have officially entered the final chapter, Purna, of Book 1. We'll start with the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanatha Swamin Nitinamini Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pachayata Deshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatarubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to all of you on the call. And all glories to Srila Sanatan Goswami, who is the author of this most wonderful work, Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So we are continuing to see from Book 1. And we are in the final chapter. We are nearing the climax of this book. So in our previous session, we stopped at a point when Krishna and Balram began to cry uncontrollably. They were weeping uncontrollably. They fell down. They rolled on the ground. And they completely lost their consciousness. And as they were in this most pitiable condition at the time, all the devotees of Krishna who were surrounding him in Dwaraka, they also began to cry, seeing Krishna's condition. So when the cries in the inner chambers was heard in the Sudharma assembly, all the Yadus came running to see what had happened, and they saw this very, very, very sad condition of Krishna and Balaram, and they also started to cry very helplessly. So, as they cried, as everyone together cried like this, there were bad omens in the sky. Meteors were seen. There was lightning without any rain. So, seeing such bad omens in Satya Yuga, Brahma, who was witnessing all this, got very worried. He was sitting there with the personified Vedas, and he was worried. Why do I see so many bad omens? Then he realized that there is something wrong with his dear master and father, Lord Sri Krishna. So he came running down to see what happened. And when he came to Dwaraka, he saw this condition of all the Dwarakavasis and of Krishna and Balaram lamenting. And Krishna and Balaram had lost their consciousness. So then he saw his dear father and his dear master, Lord Sri Krishna, exhibiting very, very boldly his greatness. And what is his greatness? His love for his devotees, his readiness to be subjugated by the love of his devotees, he was actually very surprised. So everyone around Krishna were appearing helpless. They just didn't know what to do. And Lord Brahma was standing there and he wanted to somehow help the situation. So at that time, he got a very, very excellent idea. So what was that idea and how did he execute that idea? So that is what we will be seeing in today's session. So Brahma carefully looked around. He was looking around and seeing who were there surrounding Krishna. At that time, he spotted Garuda. Garuda, the greatest of all the carriers, the most celebrated carrier of Lord Sri Krishna. Garuda, who is known for carrying very, very heavy objects, was now crying with a very heavy heart. So he was looking at Krishna and he was crying so badly, seeing the condition of Krishna. His heart was all heavy. So when Brahma noticed that Garuda was sitting next to Krishna and crying so badly, Brahma, he called out to Garuda. He said, "Garuda, listen, listen, come here." But Garuda was still crying. He was not in a position to listen to anyone's voice. He was so overtaken by his mood of crying that he didn't hear Brahma. So Brahma called out again. He said, "Garuda, listen." He said, "Garuda, listen, come here." And then when Brahma called out for the third time, Garuda was awakened and he realized that he was being called. So he very respectfully went next to Brahma. Then Brahma said, "Garuda, listen very carefully. Right? There is another Sri Vrindavan Dham here in this area of Dwaraka. And this Nava Vrindavan, Sri Vrindavan within Dwaraka, is situated between the Raivata Hill and the ocean, the Arabian Sea. So Nanda, Yashoda, all the Vrajavasis and all the cows are there in replica images. So it is exactly like Vrindavan. That Vrindavan was constructed by Vishwakarma. This Vishwakarma constructed this Vrindavan in such a way that even to the minutest details, it is exactly like the original Vrindavan. The trees, the cows, the residents, the grass, every single detail is there in this Nava Vrindavan. So this Vishwakarma has very expertly created Nava Vrindavan, which is an imitation of Vrindavan. So there he has different kinds of replica images like dolls situated there. Just like how today we have New Vrindavan in the West and we have Govardhan Eco Village in India. Similarly, in those days, another Vrindavan was created and that was created by Vishwakarma and it was right there in Dwaraka. So Brahma told Garuda, "Garuda, now you very, very carefully carry these two brothers, Krishna and Balaram, on your back and no one else has to accompany you. The only person who can go along is Rohini. Rohini can go to Nava Vrindavan. But you expertly carry the two brothers so that Krishna is not awakened. Okay? There should be no jerk. Be careful in carrying Krishna and we will execute my plan accordingly." And he said, "Rohini can come because she will fit perfectly in Vrindavan. She was there in Vrindavan. Not only that, she is very intelligent. She knows how to behave at what time. So therefore, only Rohini can be given entry there." Now, he told Garuda this Vrindavan was constructed by Vishwakarma and all the Vrajavasis are there in replica images. So you have an image of Nanda, Yashoda, Radharani, Sridham, Subal and so many other static images of the cows and all the other residents. And it is very, very hard for Krishna to distinguish between the real Vrindavan and this Nava Vrindavan because Vishwakarma has been so expert in creating this place. So we can easily fool Krishna So make sure that you're carrying him and carry him without the slightest jerk. Okay? So meanwhile, Brahma, he requested all the other Yadus to go back to their homes because he wanted to execute his plan very carefully. And as Garuda was flying like that towards Navavrindavan, it so happened that Balaram somehow, he more or less managed to regain his consciousness, but Krishna hadn't regained his consciousness. So it was a good thing because Balaram is always in a mood to serve. So when he had to serve, he would be awakened. So therefore, Balaram more or less, while they were flying, he started regaining his consciousness. Now, once Garuda landed in this beautiful Navavrindavan, Balaram and Garuda together, they gently placed Krishna on a bed that was created by Vishwakarma in that place. Okay, so they carefully placed Krishna in a bed and all the replica images of the gopas and gopis were surrounding Krishna in that place. Although most of the Yadus had gone back home, still there were some associates of Krishna who were very close to him, like Uddhava, Devaki, and the queens of Vrindavan, queens of Dwaraka, who just couldn't leave his company because they felt, Krishna is in such a sad condition, how can we leave him? So the queens of Krishna, the Dwaraka queens, they just didn't want to leave Krishna in that condition. So they thought they will also go. Who all wanted to go? Uddhava, Padmavati, and then the queens of Vrindavan, Devaki, all of them, they felt that, they cannot be leaving Krishna like that, and they were very curious. So they also wanted to go. But then, with the permission of Brahma told them, you can come, but you must not be directly visible to Krishna. Because if you are directly visible to Krishna, then it will spoil the plan. So Uddhava carefully brought them and made them hide behind trees and bushes so that Krishna could not see them, but yet they could witness the pastimes of Krishna that was about to happen at this time. Now, these people had come and they were hiding behind trees. Narada Muni. See, Narada Muni started the whole thing, right? So Narada Muni, he was feeling very guilty. He was feeling very guilty. He was thinking, why did I start this topic? Why did I make everyone speak about the separation of the Vrajavasis? And only because of me, now Krishna has fainted and he is in this condition. So he was thinking that as if he made a big mistake. Narada was thinking like that in his mind. And he was too shy to come and show himself there. So what he did was, he was hiding himself behind in the sky amidst the clouds. On top of the clouds, he was sitting in a lotus posture, and he also was very curious to see the pastimes of Krishna that was about to happen. Though he didn't want to come there and show his face directly, he was very, very interested in seeing what would happen, and therefore he took his position on top of clouds, and he sat there, and he was very, very curious or very, very enthusiastic to see the pastimes of Krishna. Who else was there? Garuda. Garuda, what he did is, once he placed Krishna on the bed there, Garuda flew up because his service is always to give protection to Krishna, either carry Krishna or give protection and shade to Krishna with his wings. So he went, he flew on higher than Narada Muni. Narada Muni was sitting on the clouds and watching. So Garuda, he went higher than Narada Muni and he started spreading his wings so that his wings could give cool shade to his Lord, who was yet sleeping and who is yet to be awakened. Yeah? So like this, everyone took their positions. Now Balaram, he was not fully normal. He was just slowly regaining his consciousness and he was looking around and he was trying to understand what exactly he must do. Then immediately, as he looked at Brahma's arrangements and everything around, he realized what Brahma's plan was. So then he understood everything and he understood exactly what he must be doing next. So he sprung into action. So he quickly cleaned Krishna's face and gently he placed a very beautiful flute in Krishna's dhoti, and then he got a buffalo horn, and he got a nice stick that is used for tending cows, and he put that in Krishna's hands. He got a beautiful garland of kadamba flowers, and he put it around Krishna's neck. He collected a few gunja berries, and he got a nice earring made of gunja berries, and he put it on Krishna's ear, and he got a lovely peacock feather and put it on Krishna's head. So like this, he made Krishna appear exactly like a cowherd boy. I've sent a picture of that on the group. You can see the how Balram very carefully decorated Krishna. That's the picture. You can look at it. So after carefully decorating Krishna like this, exactly like a cowherd boy, Balram, he began to wake up Krishna. So he tried to wake him up. He said, "Krishna, my dear brother, please wake up, wake up, wake up from your sleep. You have slept so long. It's getting late. You have to go to tend the cows in the forest. Wake up, Krishna. Wake up. See, all your friends, Sridham, Subal, all of them have gone ahead with the cows. And you are left alone here. Please wake up. You need to go. The sun has risen. Why are you sleeping so late? And see, can't you see the gopis there? They are standing there and making fun of you. They are whispering into each other's ears. Oh, maybe this Krishna was awake all night. That's why he's sleeping like this. They are commenting on you. Get up, Krishna. It's time to go. You must go to the forest and take care of the cows. You must have fun with your friends. So wake up." So Balram kept asking Krishna to wake up. But Krishna was still in a very deep, deep, deep sleep. And he was just not able to wake up at that time. So then Balram said, "Krishna, it's time. You know, if you don't get up now, everyone around you will be worried. Everyone, Nanda, Yashoda, everyone is going to get worried. So please get up." And then Krishna still didn't get up. So what Balram did was he forcefully dragged Krishna out of the bed. And then as he was forcefully dragged out of the bed, Krishna regained his consciousness. And then he woke up with a jerk and he looked around and he said, "Shiva Shiva, Shiva Shiva." And then he looked around and he realized that he was sleeping. He was completely surprised and he was looking at everyone around him. He saw Nanda, he saw Yashoda. And he started smiling and he was thinking of himself. He was feeling so embarrassed. "Why did I sleep so late?" he was thinking. Then he looked at Nanda Maharaj standing in front of him and he became even more embarrassed and he went and bowed down and paid his respects to his father, because that's the first thing he used to do. He would pay respects to his father. And then he saw Yashoda. Yashoda was standing there still without even blinking her eyes. So he thought maybe she's totally stunned in love for him. So then he looked at Yashoda and he said, "Ma, you know what? This morning I had an amazing dream. And in that dream, so many things happened. You know, I had gone away from here and I went to Madhupuri. And there in Mathura, I killed Kamsa. And then I fought with great kings like Jarasandha. I established a great city by the name Dwaraka in the middle of the sea. I did so many things in my dream. But then, I don't have enough time to talk about all that. I've been sleeping so long and the cowherd boys are calling me, so I must go. There's not enough time to tell you everything." Then he looked at Balram and he said, "Balram, you know what? This dream is really, it was so realistic, you won't believe. So many complex things happened in that dream. But I will tell you everything when we go to the forest and when we sit down under the tree and get some time, I will tell you all these details of what all I did." So then he again looked at his dear mother, Yashoda, who was obviously not talking because she was an image, right? So who was not talking, and he looked at his mother and he said, "Ma, I have to leave now." So he paid his obeisances. And he signaled in a way that he wanted his lunch bag. Now, this is a static image of Yashoda. How is she going to give him a lunch bag? So therefore, Rohini, intelligently, she stepped forward and she said, "Okay, Krishna, this is enough. You've been talking a lot. So it's time that you go to the forest, and Mother Yashoda is so worried that you didn't wake up all this while. So therefore you go now, but I will make sure that both Yashoda and myself cook something really nice, and we will send you some nice refreshments in the forest. We will send your lunch bags there. So you go now. So Krishna said, okay. And then he paid his obeisances to Mother Rohini. And then he saw a nice fresh ball of butter that Vishwakarma had fashioned very cleverly, and he had put it in the hands of this image of Yashoda. So Krishna, very stealthily, he just snatched that ball of butter, and happily he began to run so that he could go to the forest. Meanwhile, Balaram, he was actually shouting out to Krishna. He said, Krishna, Krishna, come fast and join us. I will go ahead. So then Krishna, so he looked at his back at his mother's Rohini and Yashoda, and he told them, okay, ma, both of you, please make something very nice for me that I can relish in the forest. And he said, bye. And he started walking ahead. Now, this was something that Balaram would always do. Balaram would leave behind Krishna and always go ahead. The reason he always did that was because Balaram wanted to give some time for Krishna to go and talk to his gopi friends and then join him in the forest. Okay, so Balaram went ahead, and Krishna happily, he started jumping, and he went outside the Nanda Bhavan, outside his home, and he began to walk in the forest. Now, as he walked, he came across the first set of gopis headed by Chandravali. So he saw these images of Chandravali and her friends, and he was so happy to see them, and he began joking with them and enjoyed some joking talks. Then he walked further. As he was playing his beautiful flute, he came near Srimati Radharani and her friends. So when he saw Radharani, he became extremely excited. Krishna was so excited to see Radharani and her friends. And he looked at Radha and he said, oh, Praneshwari, what are you doing here? How are you? Then he looked at her and he said, why are you not talking to me? I am your devotee. I am your bhakta. Hey, Manini, proud lady, you are not talking to me? You have met me alone in the grove. Say something. Say something to me. Oh, you look angry. Did I offend you by any chance? I think you're omniscient. You got to know about my dream. Are you angry with me, Sri Radhe? Maybe you got to know about my dream and you're upset about my dream. You saw that in my dream I left you. I went to a very, very distant place. I killed Kamsa and I released the princes who were held captive by Narakasura. And later I had to marry them, because I had to save their lives. I married 16,108 queens. Are you angry and upset with me because of that? And then after marriage, I had sons and I had grandsons and I had great-grandsons. Oh, Praneshwari, please don't be angry with him, with me. Please don't be angry with me. So he said that. And then he said, it's okay, don't worry. I will come back in the evening and we will enjoy some very nice pastimes at dusk when I come back. Then he looked around and he saw that no one was there, and he quickly embraced her, kissed her, picked a handful of flowers and threw at her and ran away. So after this very, very lovely exchange of Krishna with Srimati Radharani, Devaki was watching all this from behind the trees, and for the first time she was seeing Krishna in this mood of exhibiting very sweet pastimes in Vrindavan. And she was so amazed at how Krishna was so attractively dressed, how he was playing his flute. And she was overwhelmed with motherly love, and milk began flowing from her, even though she was not very young. She was very, very old by this time. Rukmini, Jambavati, and some of the other queens, they were bewildered by the intensity of the love that Krishna was showing, and they fainted. They just lost all composure looking at the beauty of Krishna, and they fell down to the ground. They had never seen Krishna like this, dressed like a beautiful cowherd boy, because they were always used to seeing him dressed as a grand prince. So when they saw the beauty of Gopal, he just fainted. Now, Padmavati and Satyabhama, they were also there in this crowd. So when they saw this enchanting form of the Lord of Vrindavan, they stretched out their arms as if trying to embrace him and kiss him, and they began running after him, trying to catch him. So both Satyabhama and Padmavati were so enchanted, they started running out with stretched arms, trying to catch this Gopal and somehow go and grab him and kiss him. So however, Kalindi, who is one of the wives of Krishna, she was the only queen who remained sober. She was very, very steady, because she knew the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna in her form as Yamuna. So she is none other than the river Yamuna. So therefore she was used to seeing Krishna like this, dressed like this and behaving like this. So although she was very attracted to Krishna, she was very easily able to control herself, and wisely she caught hold on to Satyabhama and pulled her back so that Satyabhama wouldn't go and disturb anything there. And who else other than Uddhava could even attempt to hold Padmavati? So Uddhava, very carefully, he went and he held Padmavati and he was successful. So now Padmavati and Satyabhama were controlled and they were brought back. Now let's go back to Krishna. So as Krishna was walking along so happily, thinking that this is the forest of Vrindavan, he saw the grand Arabian Sea encircling Dwaraka. So seeing the Arabian Sea, he thought this is River Yamuna. It was dark blue, just like Yamuna Devi, and it was circling Dwaraka. So seeing Yamuna, he called out to his friends. He said, "Subal, Sridhar, where are you? Arjun, all of you come fast. Let's go and let's enjoy in River Yamuna. Let's get into the River Yamuna and let's all play together. Please come fast. Where did you all go?" So he called out to those static images and he started running into the waters of the Arabian Sea. So when he ran, when he neared the ocean and he saw the great city of Dwaraka at a distance, Krishna was surprised. He became surprised, he became confused, and he said, "Oh, where am I? What is this mighty ocean in front of me? This is not a river. These mighty waves are coming and they are, you know, just falling on me. What place is this? This doesn't look like a river. This is an ocean. And I see this great city, this grand city. What am I doing here? Is this Vrindavan? How did a big city like Dwaraka emerge in Vrindavan? What am I doing? I'm not sure of what I'm seeing. If this is Dwaraka, then why am I dressed like a cowherd boy? What's happening here?" So he was completely confused. He was totally bewildered. And at that time, Balram had to settle the issue. So then Balram said, "My dear Lord of Vaikuntha, Vaikunthapati, please listen. Please consider who you are. You were asked by the great demigods to descend down here on this earthly planet and remove the burden of earth. You are here on a mission. You are the Lord of the Lords. You are here to go and destroy the wicked kings and help your cousin Yudhishthir to perform grand sacrifices." So then Balram, he wanted Krishna to get back to the mood of being Dwarkadish and understand that he is the supreme Lord who has come here to get rid of the miscreants. When Balram wanted to take out Krishna from that mood of sweetness that he used to exhibit in Vrindavan, and he wanted to stir up the Kshatriya spirit of anger that was there in Krishna as Dwarkadish, and he told Yudhishthira is waiting for your help. You must go and help him kill his enemies like Anushalva and others. So Anushalva is the brother of Shalva. Shalva is one of the kings Krishna, you might have read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna actually fought with. So he said, "There are Anushalva remaining. There are so many other kings, wicked kings who are still, you know, you must deal with. So you better get ready. You have to go and take care of your cousin Yudhishthir and help him perform sacrifices." All this while, Krishna was swimming in his mood of premarasa. He was just enjoying Vrindavan's mood, the sweet mellows of Vrindavan. But now with Balaram's talk, he was diverted and his mood was changed to a very heroic mood. So hearing these words of Balaram, the Supreme Lord Sri Bhagavan angrily said, he said, "Who is that rascal? Who is that rascal, Anushalva? And who are those useless people troubling Yudhishthir? I will go now at once and go and kill them." So Krishna looked around again, and then he realized, actually he was dwelling in Dwaraka, and he was a prince, and actually he had been sleeping inside the palace, and he actually fainted. Now Krishna realized what really happened. So then he looked at Navavrindavan, he looked at the static images of the cows, and he looked at the ocean, and he understood that he thought it to be River Yamuna, and then he began to laugh. And he was not able to completely understand what all happened, but he was so embarrassed, and he began to laugh. And then Balaram, very smilingly, he explained to Krishna every single detail of what had happened, how he lost his consciousness, and then how Brahma came down with a plan, and how Garuda carried him and took him to this place of Navavrindavan. So after Balaram explained to him everything, then Krishna regained his composure, and then he was taken to the ocean. Balaram bathed him nicely in the ocean, because Krishna's body was completely covered with the dust. He was in Vrindavan in the nice, you know, he was going like a cowherd boy. It was very dusty in those sands, and his body was covered with dust. Not only that, even in the palace, back in the palace when he lost his consciousness, he began rolling on the floor before he completely lost his consciousness. So Balaram, he took him to the ocean and bathed him nicely. And then Garuda, who's always there to serve his lord, came flying, and he stationed himself in front of Krishna Balaram with folded palms, and he said, "I'm ready to take you back." Then Krishna and Balaram mounted on Garuda and they flew back to the palace. Then Uddhava went running back to the palace, and he informed Devaki and the queens to come. And then he told them Krishna is now back in the palace. So at this time, Uddhava, he very well knew the point that Padmavati should not come back to the palace, because something very wonderful has just happened and everyone is going to talk about it. So therefore, he didn't want Padmavati to come back. So in the pretension of telling, you know, he went and he told Padmavati that there is some other very important thing that has come up and only she can handle it. And he sent her to some other place, saying that it's an urgent matter. He told Padmavati, he diverted her attention and told her to leave to take care of something else. So Padmavati's problem was solved. Padmavati didn't come back to the palace, whereas the queens and Devaki, they went back. Now, Devaki, she saw that all the queens are around Krishna, and Krishna would want to speak about some private matters. So therefore, Devaki very wisely, like a very good mother-in-law, she excused herself. She wanted to give privacy between husband and wife. And she excused herself and she said, "I have to go and cook because I have to make Krishna's meal ready." And she went to the kitchen. Now, all the wives were assembled there because Krishna wanted to talk to them. And of course, Uddhava was there. He asked Uddhava to stay back, so that he could talk, you know, about many things which Uddhava could understand as well. So he wanted only the queens and Uddhava to be there. And of course, Mother Devaki was invited, but then she excused herself. And all the queens were there. Everyone was there. But Pratibhama was missing. In fact, all these queens, they were not boldly coming and standing in front of Krishna. Rather, they were somewhat uncomfortable, somewhat embarrassed, and they were hiding behind pillars. They felt very low of themselves. You know, when they saw the greatness of the Vrajavasis, they were actually feeling somewhat low, because when they saw how Krishna was so lovingly dealing with these Vrajavasis, they were hiding actually behind pillars. They were not freely showing themselves in front of Krishna. But Satyabhama, she was not even there. So Krishna looked at Uddhava and he just observed that everyone was there, but only Satyabhama was not there. So he looked at Uddhava and he asked, "Where is Satyabhama? Why is she not here?" At that time, Haridas, Uddhava, he's also known as Haridas, he began to speak. He said, My dear Krishna, when you took your excursion to Navavrindavan near this Raivata hill, we didn't encourage everyone to follow because everyone wouldn't understand the kind of pastime that you exhibit in Vrindavan. But the queens followed. Devaki followed. Padmavati also came. At that time, what happened behind the trees and the bushes was this spiteful, weak-minded Padmavati. She looked at Devaki and she told Devaki, "You are devoid of all pious credits. A unfortunate Rukmini, O wretched Satyabhama, Jambavati, all of you are real, hopeless, miserable women. Look here, look at how Krishna is dealing with the Vrajavasis. You must all give up your pride. You must just go and perform non-stop austerities and become servants of those Vrajavasis." She didn't even say Vrajavasis. She said servants of those Abhira women. Now, Padmavati was addressing the cowherd women as Abhiras. Actually, they are not Abhira women. Abhiras are nomads. They are outcast. Okay? That's how Padmavati was referring to them out of hate. She was telling, "Oh, those Abhira women, you go and become servants of them." These cowherd women, they were respectable Vaishyas. They were twice born Vaishyas. They were respectable people who were taking care of cows and who were doing nice agricultural work. So they should be respected. But she would call them Abhiras, outcast. Actually, there's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18 that talks about the glories of devotional service. It says, Kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abhira shumba yavana kashadhaya ye anye cha papaya dapashraya shraya shudyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. 2.4.18. It's a very, very often quoted verse. Kirata huna andra pulinda pulkasha abhira shumba yavana, members of the kasha races, and even those addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to His being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. It's a very famous verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that says that when you take shelter of advanced devotees, anybody can be delivered by the process of devotional chanting, by the process of devotional service and chanting of the holy names. So this is a very, very often quoted verse. And there you see these Abhiras, they were just nomadic people. They were not within the Varnashram. So with a lot of hate, Padmavati was referring to them as Abhiras. They are not even, Vrajavasis. She didn't even accept them to be cowherd women. So when Devaki, she heard all these harsh words from Padmavati, she said, "Hey, foolish woman, what are you talking? So what's so unusual here? Vasudev and myself, in our previous life, we worshipped the Lord and we desired that the Lord should become our son. That was the boon that we asked. But Yashoda and Nanda, you know what they asked? They worshipped the Lord and they asked the Lord for pure devotion. They were only concerned with the upliftment of all the conditioned souls. They wanted Krishna to come down, perform his pastimes and attract all the people back to Godhead. That was their mood of devotion. But we were very selfish. All that we asked was, Krishna should become our child." So this is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10.3.37.38, reading the verse. "O sinless mother Devaki," Krishna told his mother, "O sinless mother Devaki, after the expiry of 12,000 celestial years in which you constantly contemplated me within the core of your heart with great faith, devotion and austerity, I was very much satisfied with you. Since I am the best of all bestowers of benediction, I appeared in this same form as Krishna to ask you to take from me the benediction you desired. You then expressed your desire to have a son exactly like me." This is 10.3.37 and 38. So Devaki and Vasudeva, they were Krishni and Sutapa in their previous life. And when they ask this benediction, Krishna, who is Varadeshwara, he is the great bestower of benediction. He is Varada. He will just give you benedictions like that. So he told, "I will be born to you three times." Why one time? "I will be born to you three times." So therefore he was born as Prishnigarbha, then he was born as Upendra or Vamana, and then he was born as Krishna. to Devaki and Vasudev. So he was born as Vamana to Aditi and Kashyapa, Prashni Garbha to Prashni, right? So this is how Krishna was born three times. He was born three times to them. So Devaki explained that we asked boons like that, but then, however, Yashoda and Nanda, in their previous lives, as Drona and Dara, what did they ask? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.49. Drona and Dara said, please permit us to be born on the planet Earth so that after our appearance, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller and Master of all planets will also appear and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that those born in this material world may very easily be delivered from the miserable conditions of materialistic life by accepting this process of devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.49. This is what Yashoda and Nanda in their previous life as Drona and Dhara asked the Lord. So they wanted Krishna to exhibit the childhood pastimes so that the world would hear about it, they would recite it again and again and relish these most uncommon pastimes and taste love of God. So Krishna gave them a greater boon. He bestowed premarasa, parental love that is found only in Vrindavan, to Drona and Dhara, who later appeared as Yashoda and Nanda. So therefore Devaki said, it is totally fit, correct. Whatever Krishna did is perfect. Nanda and Yashoda, they are so much more greater than us. Not only that, they acted wiser. What did they do? How did they ask this boon? They prayed to devotee Lord Brahma. They didn't ask Krishna directly this boon. They asked Brahma this boon. And Brahma is a devotee. Obviously, a devotee is more merciful. Therefore, they got their wish fulfilled through a devotee. And Krishna very well likes his devotee to give boon. So therefore, a greater boon was asked. And they had an advantage. They directly asked a devotee instead of asking Krishna. They asked a devotee instead of asking Krishna directly. So their special attitude towards them is very fitting and it is very pleasing to me. I don't see any problem here. And then Rukmini. Today morning we also heard about Rukmini Sandesh. And yesterday was Rukmini Dwadasi. So it's a great opportunity for us to glorify her mood. She had a very, very, very sweet mood. So Rukmini, very, very brightly, she began to speak in the favor of the Vrajagopis. That was a very sweet nature. She said, Mother Padmavati, these Vrajagopis, they are very, very great. They gave up everything. They gave up their husbands. They gave up their sons. They gave up their homes. They just give up everything disregarding their own good fortune. Who will do that? They don't care for anything in this world or for the next. They were ready to give up everything. And they went through so much. And not only that, when they were in Vrindavan, they enchanted the Lord. The Lord was completely subjugated by them. They engaged the Lord in nice, beautiful pastimes like the Rasa dance. The gopis attained perfection by their love for Krishna. But others like me, all we queens, we can only pray to follow in their footsteps. Others undergo so much austerities to attain the Lord, but these gopis in their mood of love and separation, they have achieved the highest goal. Just by exhibiting pure love and separation, they have attained the goal of life. So it is very befitting that Krishna loves the gopis more than us. Because after all, we are all queens. We are attached to religious duties. We have so many social obligations. As a queen, are we ready to give up everything and go like the gopis? No. We are attached to all these obligations. We are attached to home. We are attached to our children, our grandchildren, our duties, our position as queens. So many things we have. But the gopis, we are so simple. So in short, she explains the difference between Parakya and Swakya, Madhurya Rasa. And she said, our exchanges with Krishna was always restricted by social norms. We had to follow all these social rules and regulations. But the love of the gopis was so intense and it was so spontaneous. They just didn't care for anything other than giving happiness to Krishna. So the gopis, very easily, in their spontaneous love, they make Krishna subservient to their love. So sometimes Krishna, he goes to the house of a gopi and he stands at the door and he makes different sounds to capture her attention. And when that gopi hears these noises that Krishna is making, she understands Krishna has come to see her, and very carefully and stealthily, without her family members knowing, she walks out of the house just to go and meet Krishna and exchange some sweet words and make him happy. They leave everything. They just leave everything to go and meet Krishna. Sometimes the gopis, in the pretext of fetching water from river Yamuna, they just say some excuse and they go and they fetch water just to go and meet Krishna in the forest and enjoy some nice talks with him. But we are so attached to our household life. So like this, out of her natural humility, which was there in Rukmini, inherent, she was expressing the great admiration she had for the gopis. And she accepted that her position was much, much more inferior as compared to the exceptional love that the gopis exhibited. So Rukmini, she just finished speaking like this. Now, who was telling the story of what happened behind the trees in our Vrindavan? It was Uddhava, right? So Uddhava was telling Krishna why Satyabhama was missing. That is the whole context of what we are talking. So, coming to the point, Uddhava said, when Rukmini spoke like this, all the queens, all this conversation was happening behind the trees. So Rukmini was glorifying the Vrajavasis. So when Rukmini spoke like this, all the queens except Satyabhama, Satrajiti, she just couldn't tolerate these words. She got so angry and so upset and she walked away and she entered her chamber of anger. So this is very interesting, because in those days, these queens, these great queens, they had special palaces built just to go and sit when they were angry. It's there even in the Ramayana. Even in the Ramayana, Kaikeyi, when she was very, very angry after she was, brainwashed by Manthara, what she did was, she went and sat in this place. It's called the Chamber of Anger. When women are very angry with their husbands, especially queens, they go and sit there. That means they are very angry and the husband should come and take care of them. So, like that, Satyabhama went and she sat in the Chamber of Anger because she was very upset with her husband. Now, when Krishna, who is Srimad Gopi Jana Prananatha, the life of the gopis who are headed by Srimati Radharani, heard this account from Uddhava, he got very, very angry and he said, bring here at once the daughter of this foolish king Satrajit. I want to see her right now. Satyabhama is an expert in the art of romance, in her mood of jealous pride. It is a beautiful relationship that Krishna has with Satyabhama. Satyabhama knows very well what gives intense pleasure to Krishna. There are two kinds of wives. One wife is who is very submissive, who is very scared that her husband will get upset for the slightest thing. And she's going to great extents to please her husband. The other kind of wife is the one who loves to give her husband some kind of pleasure by fighting with him. Just like, in yesterday's class, someone was, Keshwanand Prabhu was mentioning about this. Just like sometimes lovers, when they fight, the girl will say, I just hate you. I don't want to see your face. So this gives pleasure to the boy. He thinks, oh, she loves me so much. She's so possessive of me. So that kind of pleasure, Satyabhama, she gives Krishna. So though Krishna ordered angrily, we'll see. Actually, Krishna, inside, he enjoys these things. Okay? So very angrily, Krishna told, ask that Satrajiti to come here in front of me immediately. So we'll stop here and we'll continue in our next class and see what happened. What did Krishna say? And in our next session, we'll be entering some deep, deep philosophy about the love of the Vrajavasis, especially the Vrajagopis. It'll be intense philosophy. It's the greatness of the gopis, but it'll be in a story format. So please join and let's discover more about the Vrajagopis in our next session. So thank you very much for joining today. Hare Krishna. Any questions, realizations, comments, corrections, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Titi Vilasa. I don't feel like that you should stop because I was so much enjoying this.
So basically, so hold on. So, I have to put the question on the speaker. Otherwise, no one will. Go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I was saying that I wish you would have not stopped because, you know, I don't know about others, but I was simply relishing this. It was so wonderful, so wonderful. So just one quick question, is there any reference or any reason why Krishna, when he woke up, he said Shiva, Shiva?
Oh, Shiva, Shiva means auspiciousness, all auspiciousness. So, the word Shiva itself means auspiciousness. So when you wake up or, you know, when you're bewildered, it is he's just saying Shiva, 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 Shiva. That means, oh, all auspiciousness, you know, like that. It's an expression like that. And
it's just an expression, right? Of course, he's not calling out to Shiva.
Yeah, you can, of course, if others may, I mean, it's also okay for him to call Lord Shiva. That's not a problem, but actually it's an expression here. And just like, you know, when we strip down or when we fall or, you know, when we are confused, we say, oh, Krishna, right? It's like that. You know, like that, he's saying Shiva, Shiva. And then it is recommended that when you wake up, you say the names of Hari, 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 Hari. That is also, you know, in these Vedic traditions, they have these ways of calling out something nice. Instead of saying something negative, instead of saying, you know, some bad words, you can rather say these things. It's like that.
Thank you so much, Nathaji, and thank you so much once again for such a beautiful enrichment class. Looking forward for your next session. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Kirtidasundari Mataji, for always giving us your most valuable association inputs. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
I'm just saying, Mataji, you stopped at the very critical best part that I was wanting to hear. So I hope you'll be picking up right at this point next time.
Yes, Mataji. Yes, that's the whole idea, to stop at a very crucial moment.
That was very transcendentally diabolical of you. So is it going to be Thursday again?
Yes.
Or we don't know. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Gaurangi Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Sana Pranam, and Glorious Trishla Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful Mataji. Also, actually, it went our heart, you know. You expressing while telling the story, I put in the YouTube, and Asra Janvi was listening so attentively. Means she, by your expression, what Mataji is telling, you know, it was so nice. Thank you, Mataji.
So nice, Janvi Mataji. So fortunate. Thank you so much that she joined today. I'm very, very happy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Priti Vilasini Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Mataji, we just think that how you stop. The katha should be continuous, going on. Thank you very much, Mataji. The leka, your efforts, Mataji. How nicely you narrating pastime of Shri Vrindavan Dham, Shri Krishna Balram, Rukmani Ji, Satyabhama, Mataji, Naradji, everything is to heart, Mataji. Thank you very much for your association. And we think that why you stopped at this point, Mataji. Please continue. I think all Mataji is thinking like that. Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Never forget your association. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Thank you so much.
And your association has always touched to heart, Mataji. You've been very, very special, nice association to all of us. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Can I ask one more thing?
Yes, Mataji.
So Mataji, can you repeat the three births that Mother Devaki and Vasudev had?
Three? What?
Three births, right? You said.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Three births. Prishni, he came as Prishni Garbha. He was born to Prishni and Sutapa. Then he came as Upendra or Vamana Dev to Aditi and Kashyapa. And then he came to Mother Devaki and Vasudeva as the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And the Jiva Goswami goes to great extent to explain how Krishna came as his expansion in the other two births, whereas in this particular appearance, he came as the Supreme Lord himself. So in one of the verses, Jiva Goswami gives very elaborate commentary about Krishna saying particularly that in the third time when he comes, he'll come as the Supreme Lord himself, Swayam Bhagavan.
Okay, and for Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, you said it's just once, right?
See, Yashoda Nanda Maharaj, Drona and Dara, yes, only once. Drona, Dara. Of course, we all know, right, that is the portion of Drona and Dara merged into the original Nanda and Yashoda from the spiritual world. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, it was
and,
to answer your question.
Yeah, it was that. Okay, and another thing, how about Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi?
Yeah, see, of course, yes, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi also, he comes back. It's the same, actually, if you see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, most of these devotees, it's Jagai Madai also came back, though it was said three births, right? Hiranyakashipu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's thing is very special, so they all come to. For Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, it was...
So, Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra, they are Devaki or they are Vasudeva and Nanda?
I don't know, Mataji, no. I don't remember. Can anyone answer? I really don't remember whether it was Devaki or Yashoda. I think it was Devaki Vasudeva, but I don't know. Or
yes, Mataji, I think it's Devaki, but not your...
Even I'm not sure. I have to see Mataji. I really don't remember.
No worries, Mataji. No worries. Thank you so much. Maybe this will be the homework for me.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'll do yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Mataji.
Thank
you. Thank
you
again.
So much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, this is Gongi again.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, I forgot that I also had a question about the previous birth of Yashoda. But before I go there, I was just wondering, I have no idea, I don't have any scriptural reference, but I was just speculating that Sachimata is probably Yashoda because is it not like the same, like original Krishna mood, you know? Whereas Devaki is more like the awe and reverence, more in line. Not of that same mood, I would think.
Actually, even I'm thinking the same, but I can look up quickly at Gauranadish Deepika. Even I feel the
same. Yeah, Mataji. If you have a computer in front of you, can you just look it up?
I'm going to look up Gauranadish Deepika and tell you in a minute. Meanwhile, anyone
else? Oh, wait, I'm not hearing. The voice is broken up.
Oh, okay. Meanwhile, anyone else wants to ask?
Oh, no. Yeah, I did have just one other question. Actually, I was very surprised to hear about this previous birth of Yashoda and Nanda. I mean, apparently it's common knowledge, but I wasn't aware of this previous birth of them. So Drona was Nanda Maharaj?
Yes.
And then Yashoda was Gara, or how's it, with a G or with another letter in the beginning?
D.
How do you spell?
D as in
Devaki, right? D as in Devaki?
Yes.
And then?
Mm-hmm.
And then after this, can you spell the name? D and then?
D and D. So I can spell the name. D-R-O-N-E, Drona. D-H-A-R-A.
D-H-A-R-A?
Dhara.
Correct, right? D-H-A-R-A.
Yes.
And so they appeared in which yuga did they appear?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm just wondering about the history of them in this manifestation, because I hadn't heard about this before.
Oh, yeah, I can actually see. The thing is, it's there in Bhagavatam. It's there in Bhagavatam, Nanda and Yashoda's previous birth, because there is a question that is asked, how is it that Yashoda got to see such wonderful pastimes, and she's the most fortunate, because the fortune that Yashoda has seen, no one else has seen, right? So that was the question asked, and then this answer was given by Shukadev. So let me actually pull up that word for you as well. Let me go to that word. Yeah, so it is 10:08:49. They were performing austerities and they asked Lord Brahma, that's what was given. But let me again read the words for you, purport for you. So the words is Drona and Dara said, it's not Dhara, sorry, I made a mistake. It's Dhara. Dhara. Okay, it's not Dhara. The A is at the end. It is Dhara. So Drona and Dhara said, please permit us to be born on the planet Earth so that after your appearance, the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead will also appear to spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that those born in the material world may easily be delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting devotional service. Purport. This statement by Drona clearly indicates that Drona and Dara are the eternal father and mother of Krishna. Whenever there is a necessity of Krishna's appearance, Drona and Dara first appear and then Krishna appears. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that his birth is not ordinary. Okay. Then you want the context of this, or what else would you like to hear? I mean,
well, anything that you feel we have time for.
Okay. So let's do the purport then first. Although I am born and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Before Krishna's appearance, Drona and Dhara appear in order to become his father and mother. It is they who appear as Nanda Maharaj and his wife Yashoda. In other words, it is not possible for a sadhana siddha living being to become the mother or father of Krishna. For Krishna's father and mother are already designated. But by following the principles exhibited by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and their associates, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, ordinary living beings, may attain such affection as exhibited by Nanda and Yashoda. When Drona and Dara were requested to beget children, they chose to come to this world to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son Krishna. Krishna's appearance means Paritranaya Sadhunam. The devotees are protected and the miscreants are vanquished. Whenever Krishna comes, he distributes the highest goal of life, devotional service. He appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the same purpose, because unless one comes to devotional service, one cannot be delivered from the miseries of the material world where the beings struggle for existence. Oh, it's a long purpose. Okay. So this is about Drona and Dara.
That purport, was that 10:08:49, that purport?
Yes. So this comes in the chapter of Krishna delivering the, the son of his spiritual master.
Sandipani. And did we In the Bhagavatam, is there explanation of? I mean, is this the first time we're hearing about?
Yes.
You know, in other words, is there any previous birth to them, Jonah and Tara?
No, nothing else in the Bhagavatam. Nothing else mentioned in the Bhagavatam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
Nothing else about the that. This is the, in fact, this is the only place I remember that they talk about them.
Mm.
The question asked is that they are so special, and that time the answer is given that because they when they performed austerities, they performed austerities for this purpose. So they were blessed with the childhood past tense. No one else was able to see the childhood past tense, right, except the Vrajavasis, and Yashoda Maya is given a very important position because of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's interesting, too, that, you know, her mood was, you know, just like the most exalted devotees, they their love is so at such a height that it becomes their desire to share it with the rest of the world, you know? I mean, it's like a symptom of how intense your love is that the more you, the greater the love is, the more you want to share it. Whereas if it's not at that level, you know, then you may want Krishna as your son, but it's not for as exalted a reason, you know. In other words, you know, the degree to which you want to share the love is proportional to you know the level of love you have for Krishna.
Beautiful.
So it makes sense, therefore, that you know Mother Yashoda would want Krishna as her son for that reason, you know.
Yes, so beautiful.
Thank you so much, Manaji, for researching that for me. Yeah.
And your answer for Kirtira Mataji's question, Jagannath was Nanda Maharaj and Krishna's Raja Pashan, Gaur Ganadesh Deepika 37. But then it says Nanda or Jagannath were in Krishna's various appearances, Kashyapa, Dasharath, Sutapa, and Vasudeva. So it continues like that. So they are all seen as the same personality in that sense. You can see Gaur Ganadesh Deepika 37, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Sweetie.
Thank you, Mataji. Yeah, it seems to be a mix of everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think there are any other questions on YouTube. I just see some comments. Okay. So anyone else has any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji, and Dr. Pranam. Such a wonderful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. You stopped when there is a lot of suspense, Mataji. You should have not stopped. Mataji, I have one question to you. Who is Drona and Dhara? I never heard about them, Mataji. Probably I missed. I don't know, but who are they, Mataji? Do you have any idea?
Yeah. So basically, in the previous bygone ages, there was a couple. They, Drona and Dhara, as far as I know, they are Vasus. One among the Ashtavasus is Drona, if I'm not wrong. You can check that up as well. As far as I remember, he's one of the Vasus. So therefore, the Drona and his wife, Vasu and his wife, they performed severe austerities in Satyuga or some long time back, and they desired that the Lord should descend and perform his beautiful pastimes so that everyone would be attracted by these pastimes and go back to the spiritual world. That was their desire. So Krishna, they prayed to Brahma for this boon. So therefore Krishna facilitated that, and they later came as Nanda and Yashoda, and Krishna was with them in Rajabhumi performing his childhood pastimes with Yashoda and Nanda. So that's the story. That's the background.
Oh, thank you, Mataji. So basically, the, Drona is a Vasu.
There are 8 Vasus, right? Ashta Vasus. Each one has a name. So this Drona was a Vasu initially. Yeah, I mean, that's his position, rather, you can say. That was the position he had.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Mataji, also this Ashtavasus, I'm also not familiar with them. Can you give like a brief description of who they are?
One of them was also Bhishma who descended, right? The 8 Vasus, one of them. So I can give you, again, I'm going to just look up and tell you about the Ashtavasus. So
Hare Krishna, Mataji, by the time you look it up, are you sure Drona was a Vasu? Because all these 8 Vasus were born as the son of Ganga, right? Mother Ganga. Shantanu, right? And
yeah.
All of them were drowned. And only Prabhavas was left, who became the Bhishma.
Correct, you're right.
So
again,
if they are the sons of... Yeah, just look it up because...
I'm not sure.
Maybe you are right. Yeah.
I remember this, that he's one of the Vasus, one of the Vasu by the name Drona and his wife Dara. Somehow I remember this part of the story. But yes, as you asked, we can recheck that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the Vasus refer to Mother Ganga's, those 8 children.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that they were referred to in that way.
Yeah, they are there also. Correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they are in charge of the different elements like land, sky, air, fire, sun, moon, water, nakshatras. So that's what they preside over. Like they are in charge of taking care of these elements of nature.
Mm.
Dashtavasu.
So do those 8 include mind, force, ego, intelligence?
Oh, no, I don't think. They have only...
Oh, okay. But the 5 gross elements that they're in charge of, at least those, right?
Yes. Yes.
Mm. I'm curious about the other 3. You said one of them was the not something, what?
Which one? Nothing.
In addition to those 5 gross elements, what are the other 3 that they're in charge of?
Oh, yeah, I can get that for you. Again, this is nothing from Bhagavatam. It's just their positions given. I can just read them for you. Let me read that for you. It says, sky, land, air, fire, sun, moon.
Wait. I want to write it.
Yeah, right.
Sky, land, air, and?
Fire, sun, moon.
Fire, sun, moon, uh-huh.
Water and the stars, the nakshatra.
Oh. Uh-huh.
They represent nature.
So okay.
Different components of nature. Yeah, there are other places that talk about this, Kirtita Mataji, about Drona and Dhara being Vasus who performed austerity for sexual love. It has been said that Drona became Nanda. So Drona and Dara were Vasu Gandharvas who performed worship desiring a parental mood. Subsequently, they took birth in Vrindavan and emerged into Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maya. So later when that Leela was finished, Drona and
Dara, they went back to the spiritual world. So this is also there in a couple of places, but I can send you the references, Mataji. I think that will be better, right?
No, no, that's okay, Mataji. I'm confused, but yes, you can send it. But maybe then they are verses. And then
Krishna book is mentioned. Prabhupada mentioned. Even I heard that somewhere, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. So in Rupa Goswami's works, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Part 1, Chapter 3, Text 83, Drona and Dara were the Amshas of Nanda and Yashoda and merged into them when they appeared on... Okay, this is not about Vasu. Let me just check about the Vasu part. Hold on. Garga Samhita 1. This is all from Rompad Maharaj's collection of references. Rompad Maharaj says from Garga Samhita 1:15:6-10, he says, once the partial expansions of Nanda and Yashoda appeared in Swargas, the demigods Drona and Dhara. Drona was one of the 8 Vasus and as a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, he ruled the kingdom in heaven. Because they were childless, Drona and Dhara went to Mount Mandara and implored Lord Brahma to give them the Supreme Lord as their son. Lord Brahma smiled and assured them that their desire would be fulfilled. Of course, they did pray that the Lord should descend and perform pastimes, but it was in a parental mood that they asked for this benediction. Okay, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. And thank you also, Anjana Gopika Mataji, for picking it from Krishna book. Hare Krishna. Anyone else has any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you so much, wonderful class. Mataji, I just had one question. Why did they have to create this whole Vrindavan place and transport Krishna there? I didn't understand the reason. Why couldn't they use just the regular Vrindavan?
Why didn't Krishna just go to the regular Vrindavan, right? Good question. That's the question everyone should have. So if you have that question, then the next class Krishna will explain that.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mataji.
They created Vrindavan so that Krishna, he would be awakened and he can, slowly get back to normal. That was the immediate thought that Brahma had, and he took him to a Vrindavan that was close by. Now one can say that, why didn't Krishna just go back, right? He could have gone back and it could have all been nice. But then that is the philosophy that we will hear in the next class. And besides that, I also, in the next class or maybe, I think we are already running out of time. But in this class or in the next class, I wanted to read one purport of Srila Prabhupada slowly so that we all can hear the explanations from different acharyas about why Krishna didn't go back or did he go back. Yes, he went back. Some people say he went back. Some people say he didn't go back. So what actually happened? All this is there in a very beautiful purport in Srimad Bhagavatam written by Prabhupada, where he has compiled the commentaries of all the acharyas. So we will read that together so that we can churn out more details about Krishna and his pastimes. It will be very nice. So we can do that in the next session, or now itself we can do if everyone has time. But it will take at least 10 minutes. So what do you all say?
Well, I say if you don't want to read it now, then can we at least have that verse number so we can read it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I can send the number, and I can also, but I also want to read it together so that we can discuss it.
So if it's relevant now or if it is relevant for the next class, then for the next class we all can read together.
Actually, I think in the next class, Krishna is going to give very, very deep explanations why he wouldn't go to Vrindavan.
So now it's better to read, because if we our immersion in the katha will be somewhat confused if we read it tomorrow. It's better to read it today is what I'm feeling now. Because
sure.
tomorrow Krishna is
sure
going to
much.
Give explanations why he won't go. Okay, so we'll do it now. If you just 10 minutes,
sure.
just listen. Okay, just give your ear, listen, and then we'll stop. It's very nice, this commentary. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam 1078, verse number 16. And this comes in the chapter of killing of Dantavakra, Vidurata, and Romaharshana. Chapter 78 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, verse number 16, about Krishna going back to Vrindavan. For those who feel that Krishna didn't go back, you can listen to this, because Indu also asked this question, so I thought it would be nice to discuss this purport. Okay, translation of the verse. First, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all mystic power and Lord of the universe, is ever victorious. Only those who those of beastly vision.
Mataji, sorry Mataji, can you tell me the verse number, Mataji? 10?
78, 16.
Okay, fine.
Okay. So only those of beastly vision think he sometimes suffers defeat. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following elaborate commentary on this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Concerning the killing of Dantavakra, the Uttarakanda 279 of the Padma Purana contains further details in the following prose passage. I'm not going to read the Sanskrit, we'll move further. Then, hearing that Sishupala had been killed, Dantavakra went to Mathura to fight against Krishna. When Krishna, moreover, heard of this, he mounted his chariot and he went to Mathura. So this is Krishna dealing with Dantavakra. That is the scenario. Okay. Between the two of them, Dantavakra and Lord Vasudeva, there then began a battle in the gate of Mathura. The battle between Dantavakra and Krishna was at the gate of Mathura that lasted all day and night.
Oh, goodness.
Finally, Krishna struck Dantavakra with his club, at which point Dantavakra fell lifeless on the ground, all his limbs smashed like a mountain. All his limbs smashed like a mountain, shattered by a lightning bolt. Dantavakra achieved the liberation of gaining a form equal to the Lord's, and thus he also achieved the Lord's eternal supreme abode, attainable by perfect yogis, which bestows the happiness of everlasting spiritual bliss. So it was that Jaya Vijaya, apparently because of being cursed by Sanaka and his brothers, but actually to facilitate the Supreme Lord's pastime, descended to this material world, and in 3 consecutive lifetimes, they were killed by the Lord himself. Then, at that completion of these 3 lifetimes, they attained liberation. In the passage of the Padma Purana, the words Krishna tu tachrutva, when Krishna heard of this, indicate that the Lord heard from Narada, who travels very swiftly as the mind, that Dantavakra had gone to Mathura. Therefore, immediately after killing King Shalva, without first entering Dwaraka, Lord Krishna reached the vicinity of Mathura in a single moment on his chariot. His chariot also moves as swiftly as the mind. And there he saw Dantavakra. So first Krishna killed Sishupala. First Krishna killed Shalva. And after killing Shalva, without entering the city of Dwaraka, he heard from Narada Muni that Dantavakra was in Mathura. So therefore, Krishna hurriedly, he went to the border of Mathura. Okay? Thus, even today, Prabhupada writes, thus it is that even today, by the gate of Mathura, facing the direction of Dwaraka, there is a village known in the vernacular as Datiya, a name derived from the Sanskrit Dantavakraha, killer of Dantavakra, Datiha, that is the village name. This village was founded by Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranaba. In the same section of the Padma Purana, these statements also follow. After killing him, Vidurata, Krishna crossed the Yamuna and he went to the cowherd village of Nanda, where he honored and consoled his aggrieved parents. They drenched him with his tears and embraced him, and then the Lord offered obeisances to the elder cowherd men and gratified all the residents with abundant gifts of clothing, ornaments, and so on. Lord Keshava sported continuously with the cowherd women on the Kalindi's charming banks, which was filled with pious trees. Thus the Supreme Lord, assuming the appearance of a cowherd, resided there for 2 months, enjoying the pastimes of pleasure, of intimate pastimes of pleasure in various moods of loving reciprocation. Then, by Lord Vasudeva's glance, Nanda and all other residents of that place, together with their children and wives, assumed their eternal spiritual forms, boarded a celestial airplane, and ascended to the supreme Vaikuntha planet, Goloka Vrindavan. Lord Krishna, however, after bestowing on Nandagopa and all the other inhabitants of Vraja his own transcendental abode, which is free of all disease, traveled through the sky and returned to Dwaraka as demigods chanted his praises. Okay, now this is kind of something new. Why would Krishna go to Vrindavan and then liberate all of them, spend 2 months with them, liberate all of them? So therefore, Rupa Goswami comments in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Since Drona and the other demigods had previous, they are demigods. Since Drona and the other demigods had previously descended to earth to merge as partial expansions into the king of Vraja and other devotees of Vrindavan, at this time, it was these demigod expansions whom Lord Krishna sent off to Vaikuntha when he went to kill Dantavakra. Lord Hari is perpetually enjoying pastimes in Vrindavan with his intimate devotees, the residents of Gokul, who are dearer to him than his even his dear most other devotees. So that means Lord Krishna continues to perform his Aprakati Leela even to this day. So the people whom he sent were the demigod expansions who went to Vaikuntha. So in the passage of the Padma Purana, the word putra in the phrase Nanda Gopaya Sarve Jana Putra Dadadi Sahita, Nanda Gopa and the others together with their children and wives refers to such sons as Krishna, Sri Rama and Subala, while the word Dara refers to the wives such as Sri Yashoda and Kirtida, the mother of Radharani. The phrase Sarve Jana, all the people, refers to everyone living in the district of Vraja. Thus, they all went to the topmost spiritual planet, Goloka. The phrase Divya Rupa Dhara indicates that in Goloka, they engage in pastimes appropriate to demigods, not those suited to humans as in Gokul. Just as during Lord Ramachandra's incarnation, these residents of Ayodhya were transported to Vaikuntha in their self-same bodies, so in this incarnation, Krishna, the residents of Vraja attained Goloka in theirs. Lord Krishna's journey from Dwaraka to Vraja is confirmed by the following passage of the Srimad Bhagavatam. O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away from Mathura, Vrindavan or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like millions of years. Lord Krishna had been harboring a desire to go and see his friends and relatives in Vraja ever since Lord Baladev had gone there. But his mother, father and other elders in Dwaraka had refused to give him permission. Now, however, after killing Shalva, when Krishna heard from Nanda and Dantavakra had gone to Mathura, no one could object the Lord's going there immediately without first entering Dwaraka. After killing Dantavakra, he would have the opportunity to meet with his friends and relatives living in Vraja. Thinking like this, and also remembering Uddhava's allusion to the gopis in the words of Bhagavatam 10.71.9, he went to Vraja, dispelling the feelings of separation of the inhabitants. For 2 months, Lord Krishna enjoyed the Vrindavan just as before, previous to his leaving there to kill Kamsa in Mathura. Then, at the end of 2 months, he withdrew his Vraja pastimes from mundane life by taking the demigod portion of his parents and other relatives and friends to Vaikuntha. Thus, in one complete plenary manifestation, he... Please hear this. This is where the crux of the purport is. Please listen. Thus, in one complete plenary manifestation, he went to Goloka, to the spiritual world. In another, he remained perpetually enjoying in Vraja while invisible to material eyes, a Prakat Leela. And in yet another, he mounted his chariot and returned home to Dwaraka. So people of the Shaurasena province thought that after killing Dantavakra, Krishna had paid a visit to his parents and the other dear ones, and now was returning to Dwaraka. The people of Vraja, please listen, the people of Vraja, on the other hand, could not understand where he had suddenly disappeared to, so they were totally astonished. Furthermore, Shukadeva considered that Parikshit Maharaj might think, how is it that the same Krishna who caused the cowherds to attain Vaikuntha in their self-same bodies also caused the residents of Dwaraka to attain such an inauspicious condition in the course of his Maushala Leela. Thus, the king might consider the arrangement unfair because of his own affinity for the Yadus. That is why Shukadeva Goswami did not allow him to hear this pastime, which is mentioned as above, as it is related in Uttarakanda of Sri Padma Purana. Sri Vaishnava Toshani, Sanatan Goswami's commentary on the 10th canto, we find the following sequential list of pastimes. Please listen carefully again. First was journey on the occasion of the solar eclipse, when the Rajasuya assembly. During the solar eclipse, he met with the Vrajavasis. That is first. Okay, this is the chronological order given in Vaishnava Toshani. First was the journey on the occasion of the solar eclipse. Then was the Rajasuya assembly. Then the gambling match where they attempted to disrobe Draupadi. Then the Pandavas exiled to the forest. Then the killing of Shalva. And then Dantavakra. Then Krishna's visit to Vrindavan. And finally, winding up the Vrindavan pastimes. So it's kind of a complicated purport with all the commentaries of all the Acharyas talking both ways, saying that yes, Krishna went, but yet Krishna didn't go because the Vrajavasis, they are still only seeing the Aprakat Leela. They just couldn't understand what happened. Okay? So, was this helpful, Matajis?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much. Okay. There's a lot of detail in that.
Let me unmute and see if anyone has any comments or anything to add on.
Hare Krishna Maharaji, sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I was on, I haven't muted myself. So sorry for that disturbance.
Oh, no problem, Mataji.
Yeah, Mataji, thank you so much. The purport really looks very complicated. I'm not in front of the book, so maybe I have to read it again and try to understand.
Yeah. But let's forget this for now, because then we cannot enjoy the katha tomorrow. But please read
exactly
this for your own understanding. Let's go on with the story, with the reasons with which Krishna is going to give personally in our next session. Okay, why he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Please, for as far as we are concerned, Krishna didn't go back. Okay, let's keep it that way. Okay, but there are other things as well which Acharyas want us to know. So you can read this offhand and be ready so that next session we can come with a mindset that Krishna didn't go to Vrindavan. Okay?
Mm. Yes, Mataji. And Mataji, you, in the class you mentioned twice that for tomorrow, so tomorrow also we are having Brihad Bhagavatam.
Sorry, Mataji. It came out naturally in my mouth.
No, but really wanted. That's why I was concerned that it will be a good thing if you continue. But again, it depends how much you have to prepare.
Yeah, I think I'll take some time, Mataji. I'll do it next week.
Sure.
Preferably.
Sure, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, I can't help. I know, you know, we want to leave it like this, that, you know, Krishna did not go back. But
yeah,
I just want to know, is it accurate for me to think that he did not go back, but in his unmanifest form, let's say in the form of the mood of out of the Vrijvasi's deep love for Krishna, in his unmanifest form, he was still there in their hearts. Would you say that's correct?
Yes, that's how we take it. Yes, you're right. You're right.
And then you mentioned a third scenario, which I didn't catch. Do you remember what that was?
In the purport?
Yes, from the purport. He didn't go back, and apparently he left.
Yeah, apparently he went there to deliver the demigod expansions that were also present in all these Vrijvasis, right? So for their sake, he went, he performed pastimes and sent them back to Goloka Vrindavan, where the others were remaining. The other portions of these residents were still remaining, and they were only seeing the Aprakat Leela. So that's how it continues.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't understand what happened. They were totally bewildered. That's the paragraph. The paragraph begins with thinking like this and also remembering Uddhava's allusion to the gopis. If you read that paragraph, you'll get a better.
Yeah, I'm going to read that right now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. I'm sorry for holding up everybody like this today.
Mataji, I just wanted to say one more time, thank you so much for bringing this up. Because, I mean, that's like the perfect finish, right? The whole time we are like sitting, oh, Krishna didn't go. Everyone is blaming him. Everyone is complaining about that. They are so sad. Balram is sad. Uddhava is sad.
Yeah.
Gopis are sad. Everyone in Vrindavan is sad. So, but this is like, okay, fine. That has put that thought at rest that, yes, Krishna was very concerned and he did go. Thank you so much. Very grateful to you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. And that's the reason I wanted to read it, because sometimes, you know, everyone has different, we all think, oh, why? But then if we read this, there is some peace. So that's why I kind of wanted to read it as well. And thank you for your question. If you hadn't asked, I wouldn't have been prompted to read this. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Bol.
Okay. So we'll end here. I know everyone has to carry on with their work. So we'll end here. Thank you so much again for joining, and we'll catch up next week. Thank you again. Vancha kalpataruvischa kripa sindhu vyevcha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananda koti vaishnavrinda ki jai shila prabhupada ki jai shri brihad bhagavatamrita ki jai shila sanatan goswami ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare.
Thank you, Mataji. Priti Vilasni Mataji ki jai.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.